This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 26th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, AM 580's Michael Kaliska will talk with disabled athletes from Ghana who are training at the University of Illinois for the Paralympics in Beijing. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. State officials are turning on the lobbying for a $25 billion bill to fund capital improvements around Illinois. We get more from AM 580's Tom Rogers.
One target of that funding was the centerpiece of Tuesday's visit by Deputy Governor Lou Anner Peters. She spoke inside the hot, stuffy main entrance of Lincoln Hall, a crumbling University of Illinois lecture hall that's seen only minimal improvement since 1939. It's in line for a $55 million renovation under the bill. U of I President Joseph White is a key proponent of the capital plan, which the House is being asked to consider after it won Senate approval.
I have my call list. Get your call list. This matter needs to be brought forward. It needs to be approved. And I look forward to seeing all of you at the kickoff of the renovation of Lincoln Hall with the new capital dollars that will flow.
But some people, including U of I senior Wayne Williams, have trouble with gambling as the proposed funding source, including three new casinos, one of which is being sought by the city of Danville.
Only 45 minutes away from the campus. I know they say they plan to get a lot of people from Indiana over here, but I'm scared of how many students will be going over there spending their tuition money on slot machines.
The bill would also pay for a variety of other building and road projects, including a new interchange east of Urbana on I-74. No local lawmakers appeared at Tuesday's event. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan says Governor Wild Blagojevich is a want-to-be tyrant who needs to be stopped. And he wants the judicial branch to help do it. We get this story from Amanda Vinicky.
Governor Blagojevich is suing Madigan. Blagojevich accuses the speaker of mocking the governor's right to call the legislature into special sessions at specific dates and times, something the governor did often this summer during battles over the state budget. Madigan admits he did twice start the sessions a few hours early, but points out special sessions are supposed to deal with urgent business, so what's the harm? Madigan says by bringing the lawsuit, Blagojevich is playing political games. He also says Blagojevich is acting like a tyrant. Madigan says such behavior should be recognized and rebuked, and has asked the Sangamon County Circuit Court do so by dismissing the lawsuit. Blagojevich's spokeswoman, Rebecca Rausch, says the suit is not political.
We just want to make sure the Constitution is upheld.
The lawsuit is another example of the public disputes between Madigan and Blagojevich. Democratic infighting this year led to the longest overtime session in state history. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A Champaign man is dead following a crash on I-74 that closed the interstate for nearly 3 hours yesterday afternoon. The Champaign County Coroner's Office says 38-year-old Brent Newland was pronounced dead at the scene. State police say his westbound car suddenly crossed over the median into the eastbound lanes between Urbana and St. Joseph and was hit by two oncoming semis. One of the two semi drivers was taken to Urbana's Carl Hospital. His injuries were not considered serious. Monticello teachers could walk off the job next month. Teachers Union President Kristen McMullen says they voted to file an intent to strike notice and that the vote was overwhelming. About 150 teachers, custodians, and cooks have been without a contract since July 1st. The next bargaining session between the district and union with a federal mediator is scheduled for Monday night. A spokesman for the Illinois Education Association says the previous one made very little progress. A financial consultant says Vermilion County's money-losing nursing home could finish the fiscal year in the black thanks to cuts in spending and efforts to bring in more residents. The Vermilion County Board paid Michael Harmon to do a financial study of the Vermilion Manor Nursing Home, which has lost money in 5 of the last 6 years. Harmon told the county board in a special meeting last night that the nursing home near Tilton has adequate funds to operate, but compared to other facilities, it hasn't spent them efficiently.
We should place emphasis on reducing personnel expenses as the primary action to take and placing those expenses in proportion to the revenue base.
And Harmon says that's what Vermilion Manor has started doing under Administrator Joan Darr, who was hired by the county last year. He says Vermilion Manor has trimmed its staff by 5 and is marketing itself more aggressively, increasing the number of residents by about 10 in the past few months. Harmon now predicts that Vermilion Manor, which lost nearly $880,000 last year, could end the current fiscal year with a modest profit. The county board last night also voted to put its 2008 budget proposal out for public view. The $43 million budget is nearly $2 million larger than the previous budget. Unlike the previous one, it does include no increase in property taxes. The Vermilion County Board is expected to vote on the budget November 13th. A woman who has been serving as the City of Champaign's assistant city manager has now been named to the post permanently. Dorothy David will replace Paul Berg, who left over the summer to take a city manager's position in Florida. David has been with Champaign for the last 13 years, most of them as neighborhood services director. David beat out 4 out of town candidates for the post. A group of investors wants to bring minor league baseball to Champaign in 2 years. They're working on a partnership with the U of I that would allow a team from the Independent Frontier League to play its games at Illinois Field. That will require extensive renovations to the stadium, including additional seating, concessions, and a kids' play area. Matt Perry is the CEO of Denver-based National Sports Services. He says research over a 50-mile radius proves the market will support a minor league franchise.
One of the things we're going to sell is inexpensive family entertainment. And we want to work very closely with the university to make sure this benefits their program from a standpoint of recruiting, entertaining their fan base. And we think we have the start of a very unique opportunity to pursue this further.
Frontier League Commissioner Bill Lee says partnerships between minor league teams and universities is nothing new. Several institutions, including Penn State and the University of Nebraska, share facilities. Perry's group is working with area architects on preliminary designs for renovating Illinois Field. The investors group would also likely seek a waiver on the U of I's ban of alcohol sales at the park. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonser. Disabled people in Africa often face significant discrimination. But this is changing in Ghana, partly thanks to the University of Illinois. As part of a long-term effort, the U of I is helping disabled athletes from Ghana prepare for next year's Paralympics in Beijing. AM 580's Michael Kaliska has this report.
Yes, sir.
About 15 wheelchair athletes whooshed down Windsor Road in Urbana. Among them are 5 athletes from the East African nation of Ghana. In the last few years, their life has changed tremendously.
Yeah, in the beginning, I didn't get a chair. I get my own chair in 2 or 3 when we were in America. But in the previous, I was using crutches. Crutches, yeah. So training and movement, all my movement. Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Polio disabled Raphael Bucci and Kebe's legs when he was 6 years old. He had to wait 17 years to get a wheelchair. Only 1 year later, in 2004, Nkebe was one of 2 Ghanaian athletes who competed in the Paralympics in Athens.
Yeah, the sports has helped me a lot because now in Ghana, I can say I'm one of the disabled, the hero among the disabled athletes in Ghana because of I've been the first person to represent my nation in the Paralympics game in Athens, Greece. From 2003, every year, I make sure I win 1 or 2 medals for the country.
It was the first time ever that Ghana took part in this event. Former wheelchair champion Gene Driscoll from Champaign was largely responsible for that. Driscoll won the Boston Marathon 8 times and won Olympic silver 2. She's now a development official at the U of I. In 2001, Driscoll traveled to Ghana to help train wheelchair athletes.
We're sitting in a stadium and 32 people with disabilities showed up for this track camp. There were only about 6 who were in wheelchairs. Most of them walked in on crutches or using a walker, but there were others who crawled in. They had sandals on their hands and huge calluses on their knees. And during the track camp, for many of them, it was the first time they were up off the ground in a racing chair or in any kind of chair.
Driscoll says disabled people in Ghana have a tough time. She says many are stuck in their homes their entire lives. Driscoll decided that just coaching isn't enough to help the Ghanaian athletes. so she started raising money for wheelchairs.
In Ghana, if you have a disability, it's believed you're cursed by God, and many people are rejected by their families, rejected by society. You know, they're seen as the dogs running around on the ground, and they're the last ones to receive food. It's really disheartening.
Nkebe says his parents supported him, but being disabled created some problems.
Because of I'm the only male child for my mother, so it seems like in Africa the men also are the decision makers in the family. So, but they realize that they can't challenge God, so they must be behind me.
But getting respect from the community, Nkebe says, came through his success in sports. This year alone, he won 3 medals in sprint competitions at the All African Games.
It is being realized by the government of Ghana that if one disabled person can win a medal in maybe 800 meters and a whole football team of 22 or 23 can not win anything, and that means with a disabled there is a brighter future.
Cesar Jikunu is a national wheelchair racing coach. He says that sports have already had an impact on Ghanaian politics and society. He says a new bill has been passed which will provide free education to disabled children.
So much is changing so much. Now they now recognize us. The public now see us as a force, as part of them.
And Nkebe says he believes that even more will change as he tries to qualify for the next year's Paralympics in Beijing.
That's the biggest dream of any good athlete in this world, because a Paralympic is the final point in any athlete's life. So that is our dream, to go there and take part, not to take part, but to be among the medal winners. That's what we are hoping for now.
I'm Michael Kuliska, AM 580 News.
In the forecast for the region today, mostly cloudy, cooler, occasional showers, especially during the morning, the high 72. Mostly cloudy early this evening, then clearing overnight, the low around 50. Mostly sunny tomorrow, the high 75. Clear and cool tomorrow evening, the low around 50. Sunny skies Friday with a high of 77. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 26th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wil.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.